Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, listen, this may be a series, I'm not sure. How many like the Mission Impossible series? You guys big Mission Impossible? There's two things I learned about Mission Impossible. If you watch all of them, I don't know what they ended up with, because they started to count them as names and not numbers, 8, 9, something like that. Two things I know about Mission Impossible movies, that Tom Cruise can handle anything, and the guy loves to run. It just seems like the camera catches him running all the time. And we just went and saw the last one, and yeah, he's just running. And it's kind of funny. You're like, okay, stop showing him run. And he's running down all these streets, and it's pretty funny. But it got me thinking. It's a 3-hour movie, by the way. It is a long movie, so if you're not ready to go for 3 hours, don't. But at the same time, from the beginning, from the moment it starts, there's like adrenaline the whole time. How many have seen the last one, The Dead Reckoning? So it's interesting. I was worshiping today, and I wasn't going to go here, and then I kept feeling like, no, I need to go here. In the movie, long story short, there's like the computer AI has come to life. Sounds like reality in some ways. And it's trying to basically shut down the nuclear ability of every nation. And so at one point on the map, they're showing you the ones that still have, the nations that still have nuclear capability are in yellow. But I think it's a syndicate, I can't remember what they called it. But as it begins to work its way into the system, it begins to shut it down. And all of a sudden you see it go red and it says offline. And when it goes offline, that means it's no longer able to send out nuclear missiles. So its goal, of course, is to take over the world. It got me thinking, because I'm going to do a message that I've talked about before. I believe it was 2017, through a series of events, I physically, and in some ways spiritually and mentally, crashed. You know, what started off as a small pain, then they labeled that as prostatitis, then they put me on medication that caused my whole system to crash. I stopped sleeping, and I think it was March or April, I literally hit a wall. Hello, Uncle Mike. Good to see you. Welcome back. I hit a wall. And I want to relate this because lately, Pastor Rod's done it, and I'm thinking we're going to talk about grace in a couple weeks, and we're hitting these topics that we know well. But how many know that it is easy to sometimes change? It is sometimes harder, though, to maintain that change. Anybody else want to agree? There's actually three reasons they say why we change. We change because we learn enough that we want to, because we hurt enough that we have to. How many find themselves there usually, right? You change because you hurt, and you're like, I got to stop doing that, or I got to lose weight, or I got to whatever. Or because they've been given enough that they are able to. So sometimes you don't have the ability, but you're given the ability, so now you can change. So a lot of times we find ourselves, it's easy to change, but it is hard to maintain that change. So in 2017, putting this all together, I felt like as I was going through this, that I had things in my life going offline. You know, I remember when the doctor told me, I went there and I wasn't sleeping. He said, you cannot drink coffee anymore. Well, coffee was like a big part of my map, and it went offline. And you may not think that's a big thing. How many like coffee? How many like coffee when you're tired? When you can't sleep and you have to work, you need coffee. And then he says, you can't have coffee. So that part of my life went offline. Boo. How am I going to do warfare with my tiredness? I have no coffee. And I remember little by little, it felt like things were going offline. You know, I remember a point where I felt like I didn't have much praise left, or I almost had no praise left. I still remember the day I laid over here. I just needed to find a spot, and you had two people come, Steve and Dan Langus, come pray for me, because I can't even praise. I was shaking. My hands were shaking. I was a mess. So I didn't want to lift my hands. Not that I didn't want to worship, but I didn't have any worship. Remember one day on the couch, I remember weeping like, Lord, what is going on? I don't understand. Like I was broken in so many ways. So praise went offline. You know, reading the word gets tough when you're in a scenario like that. You're reading it, you're trying to have faith, but I felt like it was going offline. And relationships, because I was stuck in my house. So, you know, you mentioned about the leper and, you know, isolation. So all these things I felt like were going offline. And I don't know how it came about. I think I started to read a book. And one of the things I began to realize that was not offline was my ability to speak over myself. The problem that was happening, though, I was speaking over myself, but I was speaking over myself everything wrong. I was speaking things like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'll ever go on vacation again. At this point, I couldn't even sit. I was in so much pain in my derriere that I had to lay most of the time. It just was a mess. So I started to wonder if I'd ever vacation again. Then I had to take time off work. Am I ever going to work again? And all these things, you know, I can't sleep anymore. Am I going to die? And then, of course, I started to think the worst. Do I have, you name it, you know, you start to wonder if you have it. I remember I had to have Chris to go into the doctor with me because he would say one thing and my brain would grab a hold of it and it would be negative. And she would have to look at me and she'd go, he didn't say that. But my brain thought he did. He may throw out, well, I don't, you know, we would have to do further testing if it's, and I'm thinking, oh, I have it. And she's like, no, you don't have it. And this went on for a few months. And I read a book, and we're going to talk about it. You can put up the first slide. If anything, I want you to grab a hold of this because this is really, really powerful. Rewired, the power of a renewed mind. It's interesting that the Bible has said it for thousands of years, but the science is beginning. I'm not going to over-science you today, but and some of you, you've been here long enough to know some of the things I'm going to talk about. But science is actually backing up the Bible. Can you believe it? The science is backing up the Bible. So, for instance, turn to your Bibles. Well, this is the main scripture. There's two main scriptures I want you to look at. Josh, this seems a little teeny up here. I don't know if it is out there, but Romans 12:2. This is the scripture. If you want to grab one scripture and remember it, Romans 12:2. It's up there as well. I always love when you turn to it because then you know where it's at. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosis. That's the caterpillar to the butterfly. So if you feel like a squirmy little crawling caterpillar, you can change into a butterfly. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Next scripture down there you can see is Proverbs 23:7. It says, for as he thinks in his heart. And you got to remember, Jewish believers, it wasn't just the heart, it was mind, soul, body. It was like a whole thing. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. And that last one there, Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's some fascinating things that have come out. If you could put up that one scripture, the one with Adolf Hitler, he spoke something. This is what he said. He said, if you make the lie big, you make it simple, and you keep saying it, eventually they will believe it. Interesting. The Bible says to renew your mind, you'll be transformed if you renew your mind. Here's a man that began to almost take over the world, and he said, if you make it a lie big enough, simple enough, and you say it over and over again, eventually you believe it. So what was I doing during this time when I was going through all this? I began to have a script in my brain that I renewed almost daily, but it was subconscious. Sometimes I was conscious of it, but most of the time it was thoughts that I had quickly and they were subconscious because I had told myself these things so many times, I began to believe it. And here's the crazy thing. When I believed it in my mind, my body responded appropriately. Now people go, oh my gosh, you're getting into psychology. It's not psychology, it's science. And you have been saying things all your life. So let me give you one example. You're gonna worry yourself sick. Have you ever been told that? Have you ever told your kids that? Hey, stop worrying. You're going to worry yourself sick. Did you know that worrying yourself sick is your mind causing your body to be sick because of the thoughts that you're thinking? It's like fear. You get fear stuck into you, it could cause you to be sick. How is that possible? You're not sick. They did a study once, and they were telling people, they would walk up to people, I'm trying to remember the scenario, but they would simply, it was a boat. And they would look at people, and they did a study. They'd walk up to people, and they'd go, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry you're feeling seasick. Are you okay? This boat is really making your... And as they would say that, the person would be like, yeah, they weren't sick a minute ago. But they implanted a thought, and the next thing you know, they're like, I got to go to the bathroom. They literally did that over and over again. They tried it on one of the crew, and the crew member laughed at him. I'm not sick. I don't get seasick. What's the difference between the two people? The one knew the truth, the other knew the lie, or believed the lie. So your body, there's finding out, let's look at a side. I'm just gonna give you a few things, so I won't over-science you, I promise you. Go to that third slide, I believe it is, maybe fourth. Caroline Leaf. Anybody ever read anything by Caroline Leaf? She's a neuroscientist. She's phenomenal, and she's backed up by a lot of other scientists. What I love about Caroline Leaf, if you want to do a deep dive into this, Caroline Leaf is the girl to do it with because she is scriptural. She backs it up. She said this, as we think we change the physical nature of our brain. Just stop there. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then she says, as a neuroscientist, as we think, we change the physical nature of our brain. As we consciously direct our thinking, we can wire out toxic patterns of thinking and replace them with healthy thoughts. It says it all starts in the realm of the mind with your ability to think and choose. Do the next slide. Our brain is neuroplastic, so it can change and regrow. Did you know at one point they used to think your brain was fixed? The way it was is the way it is. The way it is the way it always will be. So whatever way you think, that's it. You're stuck. They used to think that about kids. Oh, this is the way the kid is. He'll never change. Did you know that they can take kids and they now know they're not a fixed mindset? We can train them to think differently. Right? That's what we do as parents. We try to change our kids to think differently. No, you cannot slap your brother. Let's think differently. But I want to. I know, but you can't. Neuroplasticity is the ability of the brain to form and reorganize synaptic connections, especially in response to learning or experience or following injury. Let me give you an example. That's the ability of the brain to change. Where's Angela? Angela Chalk? Ange, why don't you stand for a second? I know, I'm gonna embarrass you. This lady is a phenomenal drummer. I love when she drums. Matthew's a phenomenal drummer. So I wanna pick on Ange today because I watched you up there today. I was like, man, you just rock it, girl. Like, you really... I love it. She sent me a picture one day, and she had pots and pans, and the kids, it was like a kid's drum thing, drum pad, and she had all these things out so she could practice at home. Now, here's the crazy thing. What Ange is doing in that moment when she's learning a beat, it's like sometimes we learn beats, because I'm a drummer myself, and it is so foreign. It's like it goes against everything in your brain. So your brain, you're trying to hit it on time, or off time more likely, and your brain's fighting you. And you just keep doing it and doing it. So something like we see today that is easy for her, when she's in the kitchen with those drum pads, she's fighting it until she gets it. You know what she's literally doing is neuroplasticity, or she's literally creating new pathways until her brain goes, oh, okay, now I got a pathway for this. Thank you, Ange, you're amazing. That's literally what this is. Doing something over and over again until your brain makes a pathway and it's nailed in, okay? It's like that, you know, phenomenal thing. If you have a tractor and you keep going over the same spot, what do you create? You create a rut, and that tractor just keeps going to that rut and will always go into that rut. So what am I saying all this for? Listen, as Christians, we are new creations. Remember, I talked a couple weeks ago that we often live out of the old, we live out of the old covenant when we're in a new covenant. But listen, we actually live out of our old nature, but we're a new creation. So what does that look like? We tell ourselves a story that's not even God's story over our life. And here's the most crazy thing. So you'll say, well, this is true about me. It's true about you because you've said it over and over and over to yourself. And so your mind believes it, therefore your body believes it. But no, my body responds because your mind tells it to respond. So for example, how many of us have ever been told we're stupid? Richard, really? You were told you were stupid. When did you stop believing that? Because you're brilliant. So there you go, labels. Labels are one of the greatest ways. Now, I'm so glad that people, I'll come back. Richard, you're amazing. I'm so glad that you broke through that lie. I love how people are breaking through these lies. Anybody watch Survivor this last season? They had a girl on there. She was autistic. Autistic. And she was on there. You would never know she was autistic, but she pulled one guy aside who became like these two. Like, I would weep watching Survivor. I'm like, this is pathetic, but these two are awesome. Because the one guy was a firefighter, and she just somehow knew that this man could be trusted. So she pulled him aside, and she said, listen, she shared everything. I know this is vulnerable, but I'm going to share with you. I'm autistic, and this is what happens. If I play a game and I get overwhelmed, I will begin to mentally break down. And she explained it, and he's like, I got you. Here's the crazy thing is she knew her limitations, but she found ways through her limitations. So she was going to be I think she was an engineer already and something else and going for her PhD. Like, she played on the men's hockey team. But she also, she was autistic, but she also knew her limitations. So here's the beautiful thing. During one of the games, she is like trying and she's stressing out, and she finally achieves the goal, and she's not last, which means if you're last, you could be voted out. And the overwhelmed, the whole team runs around her, and they think she's just screaming because she's excited, but she is like, she's breaking down. Like, her mind, her circuits are overwhelmed because of how much she thinks. And this firefighter's like this, because he's on the opposite team. This is where I started to cry, and I could still cry, because there's humanity in everything. And the host looks at this guy, and he looks at her, and he's, because they're not supposed to have any contact, opposite teams. And I can't remember his name, but he says, do you need to go over there? He says, I give you permission. And he goes right over there. He grabs a hold of her. He says, look at me, breathe. And he walks her through what she told him. And she calms him right down. It's a beautiful moment. And then Jeff Probst, the host, he starts crying. He starts to explain, like, what is going on here? And it was this beautiful moment. Why do I say all that? Just kind of a little trail. But she knows her superpower and she knows her weakness. But she has never let her weakness deter her. But so often we're told things. I was told I'm a terrible singer and I lead worship. And every once in a while when I listen to myself, those thoughts come back. Now, don't say anything about my singing right now. But a seed was planted inside of me at a young age that I had a battle because God had another plan for me. But that rut was deep because I thought it over and over and over again. And then I get prophetic words that speak the exact opposite. I'm like, do you know who I am? I don't sing. I support singers. I was on the worship team, and Tim would sing, and John Milosh would sing, and I'm just happy to support. And I get these words about singing. I'm like, oh, for Pete's sake. And I had to fight that rut in my brain. Isn't it interesting that my voice got better the more I stopped believing that lie? I had to stop believing the lie. Now, here's the thing I want you to get. Turn to that next bright blue slide for me. What you are thinking every moment of every day becomes a physical reality in your brain and body, which affects your optimal mental and physical health. We're not just talking about something you think that affects you. We're talking about something that you think that it begins to affect your physical body and you walk out that thing. So if Richard would have grabbed a hold of that lie, and maybe you did for a few years, that you're stupid, you're dyslexic. Like, if you know Richard, Richard is a brilliant man. He's very creative. He's very smart. But what was the enemy trying to do? Put a rut in his life so he would not fulfill God's plan on him. And every one of us have that happening every day. You may be like, it never happens to me. Okay, so tomorrow I want you to look at your thoughts. Now, you may be somebody that goes, well, I don't think negative thoughts. Okay, but do you think positive thoughts? Oh, no, I'm humble. So God has a plan for your life. He wants you to do these great things. Great things. When I say great things, I don't mean big things. I always talk about going to a grocery store. It took me years to build up courage to break out of the rut to be able to talk to people and encourage them. That was simply a lie that I believed that was keeping people from a blessing. So as he thinks, Proverbs, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So I thought in my heart, I can't sing. I thought in my heart, my words don't matter. I thought in my heart, how would I encourage somebody? What would I say? So as I thought in my heart, these things became who I was. So I didn't do them. Flip the script. So now, I think I have great words to say to people. When I walk into a store, I fully expect that I'm going to bless somebody. I actually get upset when the other day I was in a line and I saw the girl that I encouraged the one day. I'm like, I picked the wrong line because I wanted to get into that line, but it was already too late because I would have went over there and encouraged her again. I want to encourage her to the point that she knows my name and looks forward to when I come in because I don't know, maybe I'm the only encourager in her life, but I'll do it. Had to flip the script. So the last thing there, look at this. Now let's go with the lower number. Even at that, research shows that 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illness comes from one's thought life. Can you fathom? So we go back to that line. You're gonna worry yourself sick. That's why it's so important when you go to the doctors and they're about to give you a diagnosis that we have to go in with faith going, whatever he says or she says, I'm going to grab a hold of well as God. God's line for me. God's plan for me. Because sometimes we can go, it doesn't mean we don't get diagnoses. That's just stupid, right? Like, I'm just not going to go in because if I don't go in, I'll never know. Well, then you'll die. But when you go in, this is what the doctor's saying, but I'm also going to believe the word of the Lord over my life because it's so important not to grab a hold of something and let it then go into you because you could live out that very word. A family member I know, they went and they did an ultrasound and they saw a shadow on a part of her body. I can't remember. And so for a few weeks, she had this in her brain. You know, shadow, often cancer. So she's like worrying herself sick. And they're not calling her back, so she finally calls them and goes in for the results. She's like, why didn't you call me back? This is huge. Oh, that was actually a shadow from your liver. It was the shadow of your liver onto this organ. They're like, she's like, what? Like, it was a shadow. It really was just a shadow. And she's like, don't you think you could have called and told me that? But in the meantime, what was she doing? Worrying herself sick. So I'm convinced, going back to Mission Impossible, I realized over the last few weeks and months that that part of my life that I had fully yellow and fully ready to bomb anything that came its way, over the last 5 years, I've let that thing go offline. Let me say this. It went offline in the positive, but it's always been online because I've been destroying things, but it's been good things because I've been telling myself a script that was negative to God's script. And it wasn't like God changed my anointing or direction, or I just began to believe lies again about my leadership ability, about where I'm headed, about all these different things. And I began to tell that story over and over again. Claude would know, my mom would know, Christy would definitely know, because I would say things and I would repeat it. And it was beginning to lodge within me and begin to physically manifest out of me. Well, how does that look like? Well, it looks like discouragement. It looks like depression. It looks like anxiety. It looks like decision-making that could change your life. I can't tell you how many times I thought, time to change my job, my house, my everything. Not my wife, not my kids. Like a new model, please. No, I'm joking. That's why she was traveling all over. I'm going to Jamaica. See ya. I'm serious. I complained a lot. But I want you to understand, when I was complaining, I was telling myself a story, and it wasn't just a mental thing. This is what you need to get. It was becoming physical in me. I was believing the lie and becoming the lie. And all of us do it every day. If something comes out of your mouth, well, I have no friends, you've just told yourself a lie that is manifesting inside of you. And often the way that will manifest is you actually push people away. Did you know that? We used to have somebody that would, in youth group, they would tell me, nobody likes me in this youth group. So they go sit in a corner like this. They manifested how they felt, and what happened? Well, nobody could connect with them. They tried and they couldn't connect. So she manifested in her body the very thing that she felt, which caused people to manifest back to her, and it just grew. I wish now I could go back and say, listen, I'm going to train you to walk in a room and go, I belong here, and people love me. And I bet if I could get her to say that 3 times a day for about 2 weeks, she would come in the next time feeling a little different. I belong here. People love me. Until she got to the point where she believed it. You following me? I love this one. Turn to the next slide. Look at the bottom first. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3:23. It's a beautiful scripture. This is scientific proof. Every morning when you wake up, new baby nerve cells have been born while you were sleeping that are there at your disposal to be used in tearing down toxic thoughts and rebuilding healthy thoughts. You have the ability to wire in new thoughts. This is neurogenesis. This is from Caroline Leaf, but I know this to be true because my physiotherapist, when I was going through all that turmoil, I was going to physiotherapy and getting all this stuff done. One day she looked at me and she said, Jay, I know you don't feel good right now. I know your body's shaking, you have tremors, blah, blah, blah. She says, every day, she said this without knowing it, she says, you have new nerve cells and you have to train those nerve cells. My physiotherapist said this. She's not a Christian. She said, you got to train those nerve cells, so you have to stretch. She taught me stretches. And she says, every day you got to take time and tell your nerve cells to be at rest. Interesting enough, after I did that for 4, 5, 6 weeks, guess what began to happen? Those new nerve cells began to believe the story that I was telling it, and they were at rest. Now that seems hokey pokey, doesn't it? It's science. That your nerve cells will listen to what you are telling them, and they will be obedient. The way it was described is this, that our brain is the captain of the ship. The captain tells it where to go. Our cells in our body are simply there to go tell us what to do. They're the guys in the bottom, the ones that are shoveling the coal in the old ships. We're not steering. We're just fueling. We're just making this thing go. You tell us where to go. So the captain's like, well, let's crash into the rocks because I feel terrible about myself. Well, all right, let's just shovel into the rocks. That's all they're doing. They're not like, they don't even have windows, right? They're just shovel away. Oh, we're all dead. Why? What happened? Well, because the captain took us somewhere we shouldn't. But what if the captain takes us somewhere we should? Do you get what I'm saying? So every day when you wake up, your nerve cells, what is the best thing you can do when you wake up? Read the Word of God and declare things over your life. So when I was going through this, I didn't have a chance to grab my journal. I always show these pages because every day I began, after I learned this, I began to write new declarations over myself. I began to write it over my body. I began to write it over my digestive system, over my, literally my prostate, because that's what was all out of whack, my sleep habits. I began to write it. And I got through little by little. How much weight did I lose? Like, I think I was down to 150 something pounds, and I'm not there right now. Nor do I want to actually be there. Even my neighbor, like, he came out one day, he said, "Are you okay? Like, you look like you've lost a lot of weight. What's going on?" So what that did was talk about the map with the nuclear bombs. Well, one of the things I love to do is to be physically active. So that went offline, right? So reading the word is offline, praise is offline, physical activity is offline, drinking coffee is offline. My doctor, he said one day, he said, "Jay, you have to begin to work out." I'm like, "Work out? I'm not sleeping. For nights, for weeks, I haven't slept. I have tremors." He says, "You have to begin to train your body." I remember picking up these dinky weights. And then I'm downstairs. Luckily, kids are off to school. Krista's not at home. And I remember getting angry. And I started to write out these declarations. And I started to, you know, like, I'm Rocky Balboa. A really thin Rocky Balboa. And I remember I started just doing these simple exercises to get my body moving. And I started, every time I'd hit, I started to declare, "I am a child of God. I'm going to get through." And I started, and little by little, not that day, but the next day was a little bit stronger. And 2 weeks later, I had a little more oomph until my mind believed it. And when my mind believed it, my body started to say, "Okay, let's get going again." And I'm telling you, that is how I got through. I would love to tell you that somebody came and prayed. I had so many people pray over me. My anxiety and depression never left. But when I began to take the word of God, the truth of who I am, and apply it every day, it began to change. Now, I'm still in one battle. I still have not got my sleep back. But in this season, well, with other things that I began to believe, I'm telling myself, I will find a way through declaration. So when somebody would say, "Hey, how you sleeping?" "Oh, I'm not sleeping well." I have to learn to go, "I sleep great. I am such a good sleeper." Now, if they really knew the truth, they'd be like, "No, you don't sleep great." "No, I sleep great." And I'm going to tell myself this until I begin, my body begins to respond, because I have told myself the wrong thing for a long time. So what do you tell yourself? There was a study done, if you're a little older in here. I have no idea what that age that is, if you're a little older. There was a study, it was a testimony of this lady who was beginning to lose her memory. And of course, when you begin to lose your memory, you begin to talk about losing your memory, so it compounds and your body begins to believe. So she actually did this very thing. She wrote out declarations and she read them. There was another one. I remember this person did it like medicine 3 times a day. There's a book about that. You guys remember it all. And this person thought, I don't know why this lady did it 3 times a day, but in this book, this person had a very serious disease. And he thought, well, nothing's curing me. Doctors always say to take medicine 3 times a day. So that person went and wrote out declarations. So both these people are writing out declarations. Both of these people are doing it 3 times a day. So 3 times a day, when she woke up in the morning, middle of the day, and for some reason, by the way, guys, nighttime, morning and nighttime is when your brain is most susceptible to receive truth or lies. And so she did it. She said, "My brain is fantastic. My mind is getting better every day. I am going to be smarter." And she did it 3 times a day for weeks. And they studied her before and after, and she was actually smarter than she was even when she started the test after weeks of supposedly degrading. And she got her memory back. So I'm thinking, what do we tell ourselves? Because I know I tell myself a lot of junk. Last scripture, put the boxing gloves up. Two last slides. You guys know the scripture, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." But look what it says. we often think it's going to be these spiritual strongholds. Look at, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I think so often we have to, you know, people want to do spiritual warfare. I think a lot of times it's not the spiritual warfare we think. We got to stop and take every thought and imagination captive. That's the warfare that we actually need to be doing. You know, people want to get together and fight this and fight that. You know, if we got to take this person down and take that down, how about we start with Romans, turn there. No, don't turn there. I'm going to read it. Romans 15, 13. May now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Two things, in believing and the Holy Spirit. In believing and the Holy Spirit. When these people want to go take down these principalities and big things, maybe we should stop and go, Lord, I thank you. I have hope. You are the God of hope. I thank you that it doesn't matter who's in charge. You are still the God of hope. I don't have to fret about tomorrow. I don't have to fret about what my stocks are doing. I don't have to fret about this or that. You are the God of hope and you will take care of me. But most of the body of Christ is running around in fear. And we're declaring things that are negative. Maybe we just need to stop. God, I thank you. You are in control. Lord, you are the God of hope. And it says that he'll fill us with all joy and peace. Last scripture, or last slide. This was actually, I want to give you the person's name. Peace Pilgrim. I have no idea who this person is, but I love her quote. If you realize the damage negative thoughts do to your brain, you would never think a negative thought again. If you realize the damage a negative thought does to your brain, you would never think another negative thought again. I've watched this work with my kids. I told you about Caleb last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. Man, my son, I'm picking on my son. I'll have to pick on my girls at some point. But my son, we would go places. And he always called himself. See, he did what I'm talking about. He wrote a script for his life. And that script said, I am socially awkward. And because he wrote that script, he said it in his mind, his body believed it, so he got into crowds. He was socially awkward. And now I look at my son and I'm like, he is socially awesome. I'm like, it's amazing what God's done in his life. But we would be at places, two things come to mind. I just remember the one, we were at a concert, an NF concert, a lot of people. And he, like, I'd be like, let's walk down here. Let's see where this takes us. Oh my God, no, we can't do that, Dad. No, no, no. Like, there's people over there. Like, he was paralyzed. There's another time. Sorry, I'm laughing at my own story in my brain. We're at the doctor's office and we had to wait because it was lunchtime. And for whatever reason, my doctor at the time, he didn't do the clipboard method, which makes total sense, right? First one there, you write your name on the clipboard. Next one shows up. He didn't do that. So people would show up and would be expected to know the order. And so we're there and there's a bunch of other people. And this gentleman walks in and he stands right in front of the window like he's going to be first. And I can overhear him telling somebody, I don't care about everybody else here. I'm going to get in first. And he looks at me. I don't know. It was God and me, I guess. But I looked at him. I said, nope. And Caleb's like, "That Dad." Like, I think he thought I was going to have a fight. And that social awkwardness, he's just like, he was paralyzed. Don't. You know, so I kept looking at the guys. Nope. There's other people here. They're first. And he got all grumbly, and finally he backed up. That's just a funny story. What's my point? I don't know when it happened. I think I have an idea. I think it had to do with some friends that came into his life and the words that we spoke over him. But little by little, my son started to believe the truth. You're not socially awkward. God has made you to light up a room. Somebody the other day told me, I showed him a picture I took. I said, look at my son. He's 22 years old. And he says, man, that kid's smile lights up a room. He had to change his thoughts. Nothing changed. Like, it's not like he went and had a replacement smile. He just began to believe the truth because he had people that reinforced it. Now, here's the truth. In high school, he had people that reinforced the negative. He was bullied, like I said. He was picked on. He was beat up in the bathrooms. So his belief system began to be formed out of what was happening. God's belief system over him was, son, that's not who you are. One day, your smile is going to light up a room. One day, now he didn't know all this, but this is what the Lord was speaking over him. One day, son, you're going to be able to connect with elderly people like nobody else around you. They're going to flood to you and talk with you and give you jobs and opportunities. All these things were the truth, but he was believing the lie and his body would manifest that lie. And so he had to begin to believe that truth. And now he's light years from where he was, and I can only wait to see where he's going. He has other lies like we all do. But I'm excited, and I think that slide says if we could only not think, if we could teach our kids, that's a negative lie. You're not, that's a lie from the enemy. Just to bring a little caution here, that does not mean we can become anything we want to become. There's a level of truth to that, but God has also called us to do things. Now, I don't think as hard as I tried, I don't think I could ever be a doctor. I don't think I'd ever want to be a doctor. You know, sometimes we're like, you could do whatever you want. I don't think that's true. God's called us to certain things. But I do know, like Richard, the enemy will put stumbling blocks in our way at an early age to keep us from what we're called to do. Right? Why don't you stand? So here's my question. What do you believe about you? You know, I don't believe we just always say fake things either, but I do believe most of the things that need to change in our life begin with how we think. Amen. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting up in the morning and saying to yourself, self, you're stinking awesome. I don't usually use that word. I'm really awesome. There's a video, I'll post it on our Facebook page. You guys remember that video of that girl? I so love that. She's got curly hair, and she climbs up on the counter, and she looks in the mirror, and she starts to tell herself all the, you're amazing, you're beautiful, you're incredible. And I'm like, man, we all need to do that. But like I started, it's easy to learn to change. It sometimes is hard to maintain that change. So I bring this message because if you're like me, maybe you did that a while back, you started to, and you just forgot because you got into a good place. That's what happens, right? You exercise, you get into a good place. You're like, oh, I finally feel good. So I'll take tomorrow off, which turns into 3 days. You go on vacation. And before you know it, you're 3 months out. And you're like, I haven't worked out in 3 months. And you feel you're sliding. This is the same thing. So tomorrow morning, you're all going to wake up right out of bed. You're going to, I'm amazing. I say freaking. That's not a good word. That's why I said stinking, because I was angry one day and that's what came out. So not the F word, that F word. So my point is when you get up tomorrow, I'm amazing. I'm a child of God. I am forgiven. I am righteous. I am incredible. Today's going to be a good day. Today's going to be a good day. I'm going to encourage somebody today. I'm going to fill myself up with life, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to love on somebody. I'm going to encourage someone. This is what it looks like to renew your mind every morning. Or you turn on the news. You get hopeless. You kick the cat or the dog or your spouse, and you're angry. I can't believe my job. This is often what we do. I can't believe how they treat me. And you may not even be noticing, but subconsciously we think these thoughts. My job stinks. Nobody likes me there. And it goes on and on and on. Change the script. Your life will begin to change because neuroscience says what you believe, your body will respond. So Lord, I thank you for truth. Lord, I thank you, it says the truth will set us free. And Lord, this is part of that truth. So Lord, I pray over the next coming days and weeks, you will renew our minds. You would begin to fill us with truth, not only of the word of God, but you would fill us with truth of who you have called us to be. Lord, even like my son, I pray, Father God, people in here that think so negative about themselves, Lord, I pray that you would begin to show them the truth of who they really are. Lord, I pray that you'd use the body of Christ, the people in this room, to begin to speak the truth over people. That is not who you are, son. That's not who you are, daughter. You are beautiful. You're going to have an amazing husband one day. You're going to have an amazing family. Your spouse will not cheat on you. They will be solid and they will be loving and caring. Lord, I pray that people in this room will help change scripts. And Lord, I pray that we begin to believe the truth and not the lie. And we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last thing, here's the crazy thing. What you think, this is just another level of crazy. You do have chemicals and neurotransmitters and electromagnetivity. I'm not saying that right still, but you know what I mean. When you think thoughts, it actually attracts. You ever wonder why people go into a room and you're like, wow, those three people are so similar and they just found each other. There's actually truth behind that. So here's my point. I'm trying to teach my son this because he's gone through some hard times in relationships and he keeps thinking in his mind, it'll happen again. So I keep telling him, you say that over and over again, you're going to attract people like that over and over again. So I'm trying to teach him now to go, no, the next person you date is going to be a phenomenal woman. I just spoke it. She's going to be solid. She's going to be so trustworthy because he has to change the script now. And this, he has to change the script. Because if not, the enemy knows what we think. And if nothing else, he'll send them that way. Or we believe what the Lord is saying, and he'll send them that way. Amen?
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.